Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're dedicating this hour to talking about sleep, insomnia, and seasonal affective disorder, and we're taking your email questions this hour as well. Send us a note, inthemoment@sdpb.org, and we'll see if we can get your question answered by our experts here on the air today. We'll start with seasonal affective disorder because that usually starts in late fall and early winter, but somehow fades in spring and summer, and we're not there yet. Malia Holbeck is the manager of Avera Outpatient Behavioral Health, and she joins us today to discuss this seasonal form of depression. Malia, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the days are starting to get a little bit longer. The sun is starting to come out every once in a while, but a lot of people are talking about how gloomy it's been, how dark it's been, the slog of spring, and you can almost hear it in their voices that it's more than just a frustration. It's easing into what some people might call a real sense of blues or even a depression. Tell us how common seasonal depression is, especially in this part of the world.
Yeah, so what we're seeing is probably it's estimated about 10 to about 20% of the population may experience some of these symptoms related to seasonal affective disorder. And it tends to be a little bit more common around this region versus some areas that are more to the south of us.
Does it increase as the winter goes on? Like, is that just what it seems like? Or do some people really have symptoms, right away in the wintertime?
It can vary from person to person. I think some people that may have experienced symptoms previously are more apt to start experiencing some of those symptoms again, or maybe experience them a little bit sooner than maybe they did before. So there's kind of different things that are going on in our life, during these times, too. I think, during the fall and early winter, it seems like we still do have some nicer days and see some of the sunshine that's coming out, too. And then we also have different things that are going on in our life that, for some people are very exciting and very happy, and from other people it's not always the case. But, there's holidays and parties and families get together, so some of those things do kind of force us to get out and just be able to enjoy some things that we enjoy doing. And then it seems like after the holidays passes, we really kind of start getting into some of those colder weathers times, and it seems like we tend to have a lot more gray days than we do sunny days, too.
Right. Do you hear people sort of self-identify with seasonal affective disorder? Is there enough awareness about something, that might have a name to sort of help people understand what's happening in their lives? Or a lot of people coming to you and just not, not making an association between? And what I'm trying to get at here, Malia, is just the difference between, a depression, a mild depression, a moderate, problem, or something that might lift when the weather turns and when you get more sunshine. How are people kind of identifying this for themselves?
I think it's a variety of different pathways too. I think some people might not have made that association that this is maybe just a little bit something more than just kind of feeling down and down and out. And some people are a little bit more aware that they are starting to see some trends that are happening in their life too, and kind of putting that together that this might be related to seasonal depression.
Yeah. What's happening? Is it chemical? Is it, describe how it sort of functions in our brain.
So I think kind of it can be kind of a couple different things too. So I think, again, just how people kind of live their lives in the wintertime and not right or wrong or otherwise, I think it's just kind of, how it is, for our area too. So when we're not able to get out as much, when we're not being able to be as active, or maybe we're overindulging during the holidays with maybe alcohol or food that aren't always so good, it does impact our mood and some of those chemicals that our brain is starting or trying to produce naturally that's not occurring as much as it's supposed to, or maybe would in the summertime.
All right. So does it affect all of us? Is it more likely to affect some people over others?
you know, they are seeing that it does impact females more than males. People that have experienced just depression in general are a little bit at higher risk, it appears. And it also seems that if someone has experienced some of these symptoms in the winter before, they are more likely to experience some of these symptoms again the next year. Again, we typically see these symptoms appearing in individuals more kind of in our northern regions versus the southern regions.
Sure. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. We're talking about this hour, sleep and insomnia and seasonal affective disorder, to sort of help you through your February in South Dakota. We want to hear from you. You can email us at inthemoment@sdpb.org or send us a text, and that number is 605-956-7372. That's 956-SDPB. And my guest right now is Malia Holbeck, and she's with Avera Outpatient Behavioral Health. And I'm wondering, Malia, if there are different types of SAD or seasonal affective disorder? Does it break down into, you know, different components?
I think the severity is going to be different between person to person, where one person can experience very mild symptoms, where maybe they just feel a little bit more sluggish, a little bit more tired, a little bit not as energetic as they typically are, where for other people, it can be a lot more severe, where it gets to the point where they really struggle to be able to participate in their day-to-day life and their day-to-day activities, where maybe they really struggle just to be able to get out of bed in the morning, which could impact maybe their jobs, their relationships, being able to parent, and different things like that.
Do you need a diagnosis? Or how do you, when someone comes to see you, how do you sort of, provide the facts that are going to help with treatment to make things as clear as possible?
So if you were to go see a counselor, that counselor will really ask you a lot of different questions just to get a good understanding of some of the symptoms that you're experiencing, and then just be able to provide a good recommendation of what would be some things that would be able to help that individual as well. Sometimes it is just kind of changing some different things that you're doing throughout the day to be able to help boost that mood and be able to release some of those symptoms. And for some others, they might need a little bit more intensity, and maybe they do need to talk to a physician, and maybe that physician would need to prescribe a medication or prescribe something else that would be helpful for that person to be able to release some of those symptoms they're experiencing.
Let's talk about some of the things that people can do on their own, some self-care options, or how to manage that seasonal depression. Where do you want to begin?
So I want to start with exercise, because I think exercise is so beneficial, not just for seasonal depression, but just for everybody in general. So I think we all know that exercise can be so beneficial for our physical wellness, but it's also so good for our mental wellness as well. And it helps actually increase our amount of energy, and oftentimes we tend to lack a little bit of energy in the winter time. So this actually can be really helpful.
Yeah, and when we say exercise, I just want to jump in a little bit, because for sometimes when people are so struggling to get off the couch, hearing exercise is going to help can be a challenge. So how much exercise, and how soon do you sort of feel those mood best boosting results of exercise?
You know, it's shown that just a small amount of exercise, so maybe 20 minutes of light exercise, can improve someone's mood with just that little amount. So yeah. I think small steps, small goals are always a good way to start. I think sometimes when you try to do too much at all at once with exercise, I think it's easy for people to not want to go back and continue with their exercise goals.
Malia, we have a question from a listener, and I'm not sure if you can answer every question today or if there's something that we need to save for another professional, but this person is asking about melatonin, and they take a melatonin pill to help them sleep. So broadly, we can talk about melatonin, but then also they have a specific question about this pill containing ashwagandha, and that is for mood stabilization. Their concern is whether or not that affects their thyroid. So let's start with this idea of melatonin, and a lot of people, sort of use that to help them sleep. Good idea?
It is. I think there are a lot of people that do see a lot of benefit from melatonin to be able to use that to be able to help sleep too. So I think if that's something that you know you want to try, I think you can definitely work with your physician and ask if that's going to be a good option for you too. Or if there's something a little bit more that maybe your physician needs to be aware of to be able to help you with some of the sleep issues that you're having.
Yeah. Any knowledge about whether or not that impacts your thyroid, or is that a question for your family practice physician? What do you think?
I would involve your family practice physician with that question.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about some of the other things. You mentioned exercise. What else are some of the self-care techniques? And if you're just tuning in, you can send us your text questions at 956-7372. That's 956-SDPB. Or email us in the moment at sdpb.org. Right now we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, and later on we'll talk about insomnia and just good sleep hygiene as well. So Malia, after exercise, what are some of the areas that you should sort of think about for self-care if you have seasonal affective disorder?
Yeah, so it's believed too that the amount of light that we receive or don't receive during this time of the year has impacts our moods as well. So on those days that are sunny days and are a little bit warmer too, I'd really encourage people just to take advantage of those days and be able to get outside and be able to enjoy that weather.
What about that light therapy that you'll see advertised online? Is that something that people can do on their own? Is that, buy one of those lamps and spend some time under it?
That's another tool that's available as well. And I've met with people too that have really benefited from using that light therapy. So again, I think there's a lot of different options that you can do to be able to help relieve some of these symptoms. And sometimes it's just trying some of these different techniques or some of these options that are out there just to be able to see what works best for you.
Yeah. Diet and exercise, alcohol and drugs, how do they sort of impact or intersect with seasonal affective disorder?
It does. So overindulging on alcohol and substances can impact how you feel and definitely can impact on your mood too. So just be mindful of that and follow what's recommended as far as safe practices and safe use with alcohol use as well. If it's something that's been an issue for you before, perhaps abstinence from alcohol would be more beneficial.
Yeah. One of the things that I found on the Avera website about seasonal affective disorder was about setting realistic goals in the light of depression. And I just exhaled when I read that because it just rings so true for anybody who's experienced those periods of just feeling down. It's one of the hardest things is to look around and realize all the things that you're not getting done that you really want to get done or you want to participate in. And I was just like, oh yeah, I can scale back when I feel when I feel a little gloomy. That's okay. Talk a little bit about the mindset for people with seasonal affective disorder. What is a mindset that can really help you be as healthy as possible as you work with your healthcare provider or your counselor on, some of the other external things that can be changed?
Mm-hmm. So I like that you had mentioned that too, because I think it is okay to give ourselves permission to not get everything done that we're hoping and just to set those realistic expectations and goals that we have. And like you had mentioned earlier too, with these symptoms that people are experiencing, some people do experience very just mild symptoms that might not be all that noticeable. But for other people, they do get very severe where, if they're not able, if they're really having a hard time getting out of bed, it's really hard to go out and do some of these things that we're talking about to really be able to help relieve some of those symptoms.
Yeah. We're getting another question, and I'm noticing a theme, and people are talking about supplements because this one is about vitamin D supplement and how much is appropriate and should they take it year-round. Can you speak either specifically to that or more broadly about using supplements and over-the-counter medication like melatonin and vitamin D to address seasonal affective disorder?
I would recommend talking to your family practice physician about any type of supplement that you have interest in wanting to be able to take. And just make sure that that is something that's going to be safe for you to be able to use.
Yeah. I know Dr. Rick Holm, the Prairie Doc, has talked about both those supplements before, so maybe we'll forward some of those questions to him and get his input on this as well. Malia Holbach, anything else before we let you go that you want to make sure people have an understanding of about seasonal affective disorder?
I think if it gets to the point where symptoms get to be to the point where it is hard to do different things throughout your day too, is to be able to reach out and ask for help.
Yeah. And what about when you are taking, because it occurs to me a lot of people I know are searching at the pharmacy or searching at their, you know, convenience store for supplements that might help. Is that a signal to you that you might need to talk to your doctor as well when you're really kind of, you know, looking for solutions?
You know, I think it could be. You know, I think either talking to a family physician or maybe even talking to a mental health professional as well.
All right. We'll close with this question also from a listener, which is if you had to suggest one thing to stop doing to help your seasonal affective disorder, what would that be? One thing to stop doing. I like that question.
I would recommend maybe stop isolating and maybe just kind of get out and moving a little bit more too. So some of those symptoms I think can make things a little bit worse. So I think the more that you stop going outside, stop doing things that you enjoy doing, stop taking care of yourself can really make some of those symptoms a little bit worse.
Yeah, you're not alone. Stop isolating yourself, whether that means just getting outside and being in connection with the sunlight or talking to your doctor or talking to friends about this and getting the support that you need. Malia, so insightful. Thank you so much for your time. We hope you'll come back again.
Yeah, thank you.